take your Bibles this evening and turn to Matthew chapter 7. And I'm not sure how long I'm going to be able to preach. I don't know what I did. I woke up from my Sunday afternoon nap and I've got an extremely sore back. And I took some Tylenol 3s. So if I do make any sense now at all, I won't be too long. But hopefully I'll survive. Amen. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. And we're going to also go to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. So I'll have you turn there as well. And I want to talk about a firm foundation. You know, when we think about life, when we think about just about anything, everything has to have a foundation. The cars that we drive, we have unibodies now, but for the most part, the cars that we drive are built on a foundation. And houses that we live in are built on a foundation, and the buildings that we enter are built on foundations. And one thing that we have to understand as God's people, whether or not you're a Christian, even the lives of unsaved, our lives are built on foundations. And I want to look at Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. And the Bible says there, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." You know, Lord willing, God is, as I mentioned, God has given us, He's given us a lot, He's given us finances, and Lord willing, soon He's going to be giving us building permits. Amen? And we are going to be building. And you know, I will tell you, I am excited about, I've been excited for years about what God has been doing here, about the finances that we've been able to raise. I was excited when God gave us that lot, and I still look at how incredible it is that we got that lot for $150,000. Most pastors, especially in the Toronto area or any of the bigger cities, would roll over a couple of times if they found out we were able to buy 2 acres of prime property for $150,000. That's a down payment on a lot of places for 2 acres. Praise God. Amen. But I'm excited because there's one little thing that has been bothering me, if you will, along the journey as far as getting prepared to build, and that was debt. And I like what Keith said. Did you come up with that, or did your father-in-law, did you ever hear him say that? Yeah. Yeah, lots of times. But there's a lot of wisdom in that. I don't like debt, and I don't like having the thought of that. You know, I was all thankful that we got that $600,000 mortgage approval, but that scared the life out of me. And again, I'm praying that we won't have to borrow money, but I know that if we do have to borrow money, we won't have to borrow $600,000. Amen. And I'm thankful for a pastor that doesn't take debt. Amen. Someone say thank you for that. But I know churches that a lot of churches that become slaves to their debt, and it basically drives the ministry. Everything's got to revolve around the debt. We can't offend people because they'll leave and then they can't pay, you know, their tithes, and then we're gonna end up, you know, we got to have a big crowd. We've got to have people here because the debt, because we've got to pay down the debt. And so, you know, it becomes again the driving force behind a building. And Lord willing, we are going to build this building, and we are going to put it up, and we are going to put it up debt-free. And whether or not, again, as I said, if we end up having to borrow a bit of money, I'm not worried. Right now, I'm going to go back a little bit. Last year and the year before and the year before that, whenever I was pushing, praise God, hopefully we'll be able to start this spring, there was always a little voice in the back of my mind going, no, 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 no. Because we would have to take a big debt. And now I'm going, yes, yes, yes. There's no little voice back there anymore. He's been kicked out. Amen? And he ain't coming back. And so I'm excited about that because the Bible principle, I'm not preaching tonight on the whether, you know, to take debts or not. I know there's Christians out there that don't think you should take a mortgage. Well, good luck trying to buy a house. And you shouldn't take debt. I think when you're buying a house, it's very difficult to do without who's going to save up $500,000, which is basically what you need to buy a house in a lot of places today. But I'm not here tonight to preach on that aspect of it. The Bible teaches and it gives us a principle that the lender, the borrower, is servant to the lender. And I don't want to be servant to Egypt, amen? Servant to the world. And I just praise God for what He's done. We're going to be building. And God has given us a lot. God has given us the finances. But there's more involved, and we're going to look at some things tonight. There's more involved in just finances and having a piece of dirt to build in. And before we get into the message, let's pray together. Father, we thank You for this opportunity to be here tonight. And Lord, it's just a blessing to know and to see firsthand what You've done here. And how You've blessed us, and how You've given us the finances. You've given us good people. You've given us the piece of land to build on. Lord, we know You're going to continue to provide. And so tonight, as we look into the building of our lives, I pray that we would take the principles of building, whether it's a property or whether it's a house or whatever it may be, Lord, that we may take these principles and apply them to our lives. So we'll thank You, we'll praise You, and ask Your blessing in Jesus' name. And amen. Jesus said the only way to wisdom, the only way to wisdom is hearing and doing His sayings. Now, going through our Sunday school, the life of Christ in Sunday school, we looked a little bit about the claims of Jesus Christ. This wasn't one of the claims that we looked at, but this is certainly a claim of Jesus Christ. He says emphatically that you cannot know wisdom unless you base your life on His sayings. That's a pretty bold statement. Amen? I'm sure that if I come up here tonight and said, listen, unless you listen to my wisdom, unless you listen to my sayings and my ways, you know, your lives are going to be ruined. Listen, I've got nothing to offer you but the words of Jesus Christ, the words of God. Amen? And as long as my words are lining up with Jesus Christ's words and what He teaches and what He says, I don't think we can go wrong. You see, the Bible, I think, has a lot of good principles for us when it comes to building our lives. But there's more to wisdom. There's more to Jesus Christ's sayings than we might think on a cursory level, if you will. You know, we think that we've done our duties when we've read His sayings, when we've read the Bible, when we've done our duty as Christians to do our devotions or to read our Bible or to read our chapters every day and to go through the Bible. But listen, it's more. There's more than just reading the Bible. We need to meditate on what He says. We need to cogitate on what He says. And you know what? We need to be doers of the Word. We need to put into practice and into the actions of our lives what we're reading in this book. You know what we should be? We should be living Bibles. Amen? Somebody once said this, reading the Bible without meditating on it is like eating without swallowing. It's not going to do you a lot of good. You know, we can't read the Bible, go through our devotions, listen to it being preached in church, listen to it being taught in Sunday school, and then forget all about it and think somehow it's magically going to affect our lives. You know what we need to do is we need to go home and we need to meditate on the Word of God. We need to consider all of the things that Christ says and put them into practice. Now, when we build, we must be prepared. That's one of the first principles of building. Back in Genesis chapter 6, this is the first building project recorded in the Bible. Genesis chapter 6, in verse 14, God is giving the instructions here to Noah for, as I mentioned, the first building project in the Bible. The Bible, in verse 14, says, "Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shall thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch." And look at verse 16. "A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it." You see, before we can begin, we have to have an end in mind. We have to know what we are building. You know, it's one thing, I remember as a kid, you know, playing with Legos or something like that. I used to like Meccano. Who remembers Meccano? The Meccano sets. I love the Meccano sets. And you know, you'd get all those parts, those 500 parts. Keith plays Meccano every day, by the way. you get all those parts and the nuts and bolts and everything. You start putting it together. And there were times when I had no idea what I was doing. I just started putting things together. I just thought, let's see what it's going to turn out like in the end. And it just didn't turn out to be much. You've got to have an end in mind. You've got to know exactly what your goal is and what your desire is and what you're trying to build. And the same principle is in our lives as well, in the building of our lives. Do you know this morning? I told you I'm on drugs. I'm all drugged up tonight. This evening. Do you know this evening what kind of a life you're trying to build for yourself? Do you have an end in mind? Do you know, like, hey, Lord, I know exactly what kind of person you want me to be. I know exactly what I'm trying to become. And ultimately, we're trying to become like the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have to know, we have to be prepared, we have to have an end in mind. The next thing we need to have is blueprints. If you're going to build a house or a structure, you're going to need blueprints. And God goes on to tell Noah how he was going to build the ark. Look at verse 15 there, and the Bible says, "And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. And he goes on in verse 15 and talks about the door and the window and how many floors it's going to have on it. He gave dimensions. He gave numbers. He gave instructions about doors and windows. He basically gave them some blueprints. We must also have the material as well. In verse 14, Noah was told to go for wood. Go get some wood. Get gopher wood, a specific kind of wood. The building plans and the material list in Noah's building project was very simple. Just to get wood and to get pitch. The text that we looked at in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus uses the very same formula for preparation for the construction of our lives. And that's interesting. We'll look at that. The end in mind is our lives. And that's what we have to remember. Jesus said this. He said, "I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house." And in verse 24, the house here is our lives and our very existence as mortal human beings on this earth. John Gill, the commentator, said this: "Every believer is a builder." Every believer. The house that he builds is his own soul. From the day that we're born, no matter who we are, our lives are being built. What are our lives being built on? Some are being built for good and some are being built for bad. They are all of our lives are construction zones, if you will, being assembled by our trials and by our errors and by our friends and by our families and by our influences and by our associations and by the media that we allow into our lives. You know, years ago, preachers had it pretty good. They only said you got to be careful about what books you read. Now you got 1,000 things to be careful about. You got to be careful about the media, whatever it is that you allow. It's so easy today with our cell phones and with computers and laptops, although laptops aren't or tablets aren't too popular anymore because our phones are almost the size of tablets. But, you know, we have the world at our fingertips. And we've got to be careful about what we are allowing to influence and build our lives, if you will. And Jesus Christ gives us the blueprints. Jesus gives us the blueprints in verse 24. He says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine. You know, the blueprints of our lives is this book. Amen? From cover to cover, beginning to end, this book is the blueprints on which we should build our lives. And if we build our lives on the principles of the Word of God, the Bible says that we will be and are wise men. John Wesley said, I am a creature of a day. I am a spirit come from God and returning to God. I want to know one thing, the way to heaven. God Himself has condescended to teach me that way. He has written it down in a book. Oh, give me that book. At any price, give me the book of God. Let me be a man of one book. John Wesley understood the importance of this book in building his life. Hearing the Word of God is the easy part. Well, at least it should be. Amen? You say, Pastor, listening to you preach is one of the hardest things I've ever done. You know how hard it is to stay awake? I hope you're not saying that. Amen? Thank you, Marcel. I love you, brother. Hearing is the easy part. The hard part is doing it. The hard part is taking what we read here and molding and shaping and forming our lives to conform to it. That's where we have a problem. And that's where so many people in churches today, honestly, that is why churches today don't preach the Word of God. That's why churches today don't preach about holiness and righteousness and living separated from the world, because it's hard. Amen? It's not easy to go against the grain. It's not easy when the whole world is going this way and we're trying to go that way and we're trying to be different than the world and we've got the influences of the world and we've got the pressures of the world. And now we're trying to conform to the Word of God. So churches today and people today said, listen, the easy thing to do is just to conform to the world. So why don't we conform our church services to the world? Why don't we conform our preaching to the world? Why don't we conform our philosophy to the world? And therefore, it's easy. Amen? It's not hard. It's not hard to go against the grain. Everybody, I believe everybody in the world, has a built-in mechanism for confirmation, for conforming. God has given everyone, even leaders, conform. God's given every one of us a desire to conform. Now, we can take that desire to conform, and we can either conform to the world, or we can say, God, I that's not the way I want my life to be built. I don't want the world's language. I don't want the world's ways. I don't want the world's philosophies. I want God's ways, and I want God's philosophies, and I want God's principles. I want my life to be built on this book. But it's hard. And it's only going to be accomplished through prayer, the sweet hour of prayer, and by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. You can't expect as God's children, to conform to His Word, to conform to His way, to live differently than this world, to live separated from this world if we're not in the book, but if we're not seeking the power of God, and we're not asking God to conform us to His image. And you know, so many Christians are falling, and so many Christians are giving into the world because they're finding the battle too hard, because they're not doing it in the power of God. Well, I can't understand why, John Doe down here or Sally can't, live for God anymore. Well, they're not praying and they're not seeking God's will and they're not seeking the power of God. So they're just caving in and they're conforming to the world and they're allowing the world, they're allowing this world system to build their lives. And God, we've got to be so careful as God's people. You know what the devil's going to do? He's going to try to bring in some phony blueprints. He's going to try to bring some things into our lives to build our lives on a false foundation. Martin Luther said this, "You may as well quit reading and hearing the Word of God and give it to the devil if you do not desire to live according to it." And he's got a good point. What is the purpose of reading it? What is the purpose of hearing it if we have no desire to live according to it? Horace Greeley said this, "It is impossible to enslave mentally or socially." In other words, it's impossible for the world to get us to conform to them, he goes on to say, if you're a Bible-reading people. The principles of the Bible are the groundwork or the firm foundation of human freedom. End of quote. We need to have a material list as well. We need to know the materials we're going to use to build. And there's one and one alone here. The Bible says that we need a rock. Jesus Christ is that rock. In Psalms chapter 18, verse 31, the Bible says, "For who is God save the Lord? Who is a rock save our God?" And in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 4, the Bible says, "He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all His ways are judgment, a God of truth, and without iniquity, just and right is He." Jesus Christ, the rock, is our firm foundation. He is the material that we need, and He is ultimately the foundation of all of our building. All of the construction. There is no substitutes for Christ. Not Muhammad, not Confucius, not the philosophies of this world. Only a life built with this material will do. We must have that firm foundation. The Leaning Tower of Pisa in Italy is going to fall. Scientists travel yearly. I want to stop there. I don't know if it is going to fall because there are literally people putting millions and millions of dollars into it to make sure it stays up. But they don't want to put it right up straight again because then it won't be the Leaning Tower. It'll be the Straight Tower of Pisa and then nobody will come and see it. So they're doing everything they can to make sure it stays up. But it is getting very close to the point where it will have no return. So the Leaning Tower of Pisa is going to fall. Scientists travel yearly to measure the building's slow descent. They reported that the 179-foot tower moves about 1/20th of an inch every single year. And now it's about 17 feet out of plumb. They further estimate that very shortly the 810-year-old tower will have leaned too far and will finally collapse onto the nearby Ristorante. For English people, that's a restaurant. Where scientists now gather, and I don't know why they're gathering in that restaurant. I would not be in that restaurant to discuss their findings. I hope they got a good umbrella. Amen. Maybe they've watched too many Coyote and Roadrunner show. I don't know. Anyways, quite significantly, the word Pisa means marshy land, which gives some clue as to why the tower began to lean even before it was completed. Also, its foundation is only 10 feet deep. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 48, the Bible says, "He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid a foundation on a rock." This does not mean that the Christian must work to obtain or maintain their salvation, but it means that there is no shortcuts involved in our Christian life and building our lives. There's no 10-foot foundations involved. We have entered into the straight gate, and it will require effort on our part. It will require a firm foundation. How many people have ever been up in the CN Tower? Yeah, probably most of us here. We've been up in the CN Tower. How many people have wished they didn't go up in the CN Tower after they looked down? Yeah, we've been there. The CN Tower, on the other hand, is built on a firm foundation. 56,000 metric tons of dirt and shale were removed to the depth of 15 meters in the center, and a base incorporating 7,000 cubic meters of concrete with 450 tons of rebar, 36 tons of steel cable, and it had been built to a thickness of 6.7 meters. It's not going anywhere. When we even think about the fact that that Leaning Tower of Pisa has been up there for so long. Come on, we've all said that before. Don't laugh. It's amazing. It's lasted over 800 years. You know, things that are built on sand aren't going to last very long. We've got to have, our lives have to have a firm foundation. You know, the simple fact of the matter is we have to be prepared for the storms of life. You know, this blessed teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, the favorite of all the Sunday school kids, the songs that we sing about the wise man and the foolish man, and it's all because of the storms and the storms of life, and believe me, storms will come. And if our lives are not built firmly and solidly upon the rock, on that firm foundation, our lives will be battered and tossed about. The storms may be personal or they may be collective as believers when we see the world changing so fast and becoming more and more corrupt. And it, even in my lifetime, I look at the changes that have taken place and what is in society considered to be acceptable. When I was a kid, I grew up in the middle of the social revolution. Everything was changing. Society was changing. The hippies were trying to reform the world and that movement, that whole movement of freedom, if you will. And again, I cannot believe what is being accepted today in our world. And those, what we call those collective storms as Christians and as Bible believers. But you know, there's personal things as well that are going to try to shake us off of our foundations. The storms may come through failure in our building as well. There was a Reader's Digest article in 1993. It said this: a friend of mine awoke one morning to find a puddle of water in the middle of his king-size waterbed. In order to fix the puncture, he rolled the heavy mattress outdoors and filled it with more water so he could locate the leak more easily. Sounds like a good idea. Well, the enormous bag of water was impossible to control, and it began to roll down the hilly terrain. He tried to hold it back, but it headed downhill and landed in a clump of bushes which poked it full of more holes. Disgusted, my friend threw out the waterbed frame and moved the standard bed into the room. The next morning he woke up, and guess what he found on the bed? A puddle of water. He discovered that the upstairs bathroom had a leak. Now we're laughing, we've all been there too, amen? Jesus said that a person that builds his life in the Lord Jesus Christ will be likened unto a wise man. Experience comes through what we have done. Wisdom comes through what we have done badly. Someone else said, a wise man learns from the mistakes of others. Why? Because nobody lives long enough to make them all themselves, amen? And you know what? There's nothing wrong with failure. there's nothing wrong with failure. Failure is a stepping stone to success. And you know, all of us are going to fail. Listen, the first time we tried to walk, we all fell flat on our face. Amen? You don't remember, but your mama does. Amen? The first time, I'm not going to pick on anyone here, but the first time we learned to drive, we probably all made some mistakes. Amen? The first time we did most of anything, we made mistakes and we fell. But what does a wise man do? A wise man gets up and continues to try and learns from their mistakes and learns from their failure. What are we building on tonight? Are we building our lives on a firm foundation? You know, when it comes to counseling or when it comes to problems in our lives, so many times we're worried, we're looking at the branches, right? We see all the extended branches of the problems in our life, and we don't realize that we've got to get to the root of the problem. And you know, if you deal with that, then the branches are going to take care of themselves. And those roots are the foundation. There's a story told of the unwise tree. Once upon a time, there was a tree. It was a lovely looking tree, shapely, strong, and stately. But appearances are not always to be trusted, and they were not in this case. For the tree knew inwardly that its massive strength was beginning to wane. When the wind was strong, it had felt itself shaking ominously and heard suspicious creaks. So wisely, it took itself in hand, and with much effort it grew another branch or two, and then looked stronger and safer than ever. But when the next gale blew, there was a terrific snapping of roots, and but for the support of a friendly neighbor, it would have fallen flat to the ground. When the tree had recovered from the shock, it looked at its neighbor curiously. "Tell me," it asked, "how is it that you have not only stood your ground in this storm, but you're able even to help me?" "Oh," replied the neighbor, "that's easy. When you were busy growing new branches, I was strengthening my roots." Without a firm foundation, folks, we will get toppled. We have got to build a firm foundation on the Word of God. Build our lives on God's Word, and we will have success. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be here tonight. And Lord, I thank you for the words of God. I thank you that you've preserved them for us and given them to us in our Bibles. But Lord, these words will do us no good unless we read them. But more than that, we need to be doers of them. We need to read them and meditate on them and cogitate on them and think about them and consider them and allow them to permeate our lives, that they may be the foundation of it. And God, without being firmly rooted in this book, we will not stand. Superficial Christians, Christians that are not in the Word, will not stand. And so, Father, I pray that you would help each one of us tonight to be what we need to be people of the book. And with everyone's head bowed and eyes are closed tonight, and I've spoken to Christians, I believe everyone here would have a testimony of being saved. But tonight, could you say, "Pastor, I need you to pray for me. I am not in the book. I am not in the Word of God. And most of all, the Word of God is not in me. And I need to do some serious reconstruction in the building of my life." You say, "Pastor, thank you. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for those hands. I need to be a person of the book. Thank you." Heavenly Father, we desire to be firmly grounded, that the devil cannot ever push us off of that foundation. Help us to be all that we can be for your glory. Thank you for those that raised the hand today. Help us for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. and amen. Let's stand together as we have a closing song.